Grace to you and peace from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Gospel of Luke, the 12th chapter, specifically our verses this morning, mark one of the most confusing passages that we have in the Gospel of Luke. How do we make sense out of it all? How do we understand it? Sam was a good man. And as Sam sat in the morning in his chair with a nice light on, he finished his prayers abruptly as his phone rang. Now, it wasn't his cell phone. For the younger generation, back in the day, people used to have phones in a central area of their house, and it used to ring. And then you'd have to get up and go to the phone. That's what this was. Sam, well into his 80s, never quite got rid of the supposed landline. He liked it. He didn't want to get rid of it, so why bother? And it was odd. He knew it wasn't a spammer or something else because they usually didn't call at 6:50 in the morning. And so he got up, approaches the phone, and answers it. His daughter is on the line, letting him know that he, Sam, is officially a great-grandfather for the first time. Sam is overjoyed. What a great day. How could today get any better, he thinks. And later that day, he does what he does. He gets in his car and he starts to make his way to get a box of cigars. That's right. He's in his 80s, and this is what he's always done at the birth of every child and grandchild. He gets a box of cigars to celebrate, and that's where he's going this morning. And wouldn't you know it, every single light he reaches is a green light. Sam is at peace. He's at peace. He's at peace with himself. He's at peace with his Lord. His prayer life is good. His devotion life is good. Sam is at peace. When Jesus has the title of Prince of Peace, it doesn't surprise us to see somebody who has peace. Sam has it. Sam enjoys and appreciates his peace. So what do you do with today's passage? What do you do with the Gospel of Luke? Jesus has the title of Prince of Peace. It's in the prophetic text. It's a title that Jesus has and receives. He is the Prince of Peace. And yet today, in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus says, I did not come to bring peace, but division. And so a lot of times when we think of peace, we think of people like Sam, people that have this great devotion life, people that have this wonderful sense of peace. But Jesus says, I came to bring division. Sam keeps going down the road, hitting every green light. It's that kind of a morning. But as he's going, the road he's on takes him right past the hospital. And as he goes by, he hangs his head low a little bit. What he would give to be able to go into that hospital and to greet his grandchild for the very first time, what he would give to have that experience. But he's never going to get it. He knows he's a great-grandfather, but he will never meet his great-grandchild. You see, Sam lives in Utah, and Utah is Mormon country. And in fact, Sam used to be Mormon. But Sam denounced the faith, and he joined a Christian church. Now, not all branches of Mormonism are the same, but this particular branch has a very specific rule. If you were Mormon once and you denounced the faith, you don't get talked to. you don't get anything. In fact, you are commanded as a member of that particular church to denounce that other person. The call that he received that morning from his daughter was simply a simple courtesy to let him know that he was a great-grandfather. There was no extra conversation. There was no extra how's it going. There was no how much did he weigh or what was his name. None of that. Just a simple, you're a great-grandfather, done. You see, his daughter was still a Mormon. And so were her children. And so were going to be raised her children's children. That was the price he paid for being a Christian. To be a Christian in that environment meant that while he got to know he was a great-grandfather, he would never meet his great-grandchildren. Just like he really didn't ever meet his grandchildren, and he never saw his daughter anymore. And while Sam is completely fictitious, somebody that I created out of my mind, I've had several friends over the years that have been pastors in the state of Utah, and they can attest that this happens a lot more than what most people think. Their pews are filled with people that don't get to see their family. That don't get to talk to their family because they are Christians. Christ brought division. Christ in this environment means that you don't get to go to those family gatherings, and the reunions aren't for you. Christ brought division. Yes, he is the Prince of Peace, but not peace necessarily to the world. Prince of Peace, that you have been reconciled with your Heavenly Father. Prince of Peace, that you have an eternal home. Peace, knowing that your sins are forgiven. Yes. But it doesn't mean that there won't be division now and in the future and in the days to come. And so what do we do with the first part of the text? With a better understanding of what it all means as we have this paradox lined up with the Prince of Peace and yet the one who brings division. How do we deal with casting fire? How do we deal with that? And yet when we look at this text, we are immediately reminded, at least I am, of other times when we have seen fire cast down from heaven. What was the Israelites to follow when they came out of Egypt except a pillar of fire? God has appeared to them as fire, and his judgment was fire. The wrath of God came down like fire. And then we have the other part, a baptism. A baptism to be baptized. This is what Jesus was born to do. He was born to be baptized with fire. That is to say, Jesus was born to have the wrath of God pushed onto him, cast down upon him. And so it was. Jesus was baptized with fire. Fire was cast down upon him. On the cross, he suffered. On the cross, he had agony. On the cross, he experienced the very wrath of God poured out upon him for your sake, poured out upon him for your salvation, poured out on him that he would experience the consequence and the penalty for all sin, for all time. Your sin, my sin, the sins of the past, the sins of the future, until he comes again, was poured out upon Jesus. Poured out upon Jesus so that we can have eternal life, so that we can have that peace, so we can have that peace that passes all understanding. Yes, we're still going to experience hardship in the life now and in the days to come. We're still going to experience hardship and division, but we will have peace A different kind of peace, yes, but peace all the same. And so it is that we rejoice all the more, even though we're going to experience hardship, even though there's going to be times of great joy and great sadness, we rejoice, knowing that Christ has taken the penalty, our penalty, and paid the price that we would have eternal life. In His name, amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time,